All right, we're
one of the we talked about singing last time, and I thought of a song that I think is really great as a theme song. It's Stand Up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. You know, it's just an incredible song. I think I'll attach it. There's also a tenor part, which is the harmony part, just one simple part. You can teach the melody. You can teach this alternative melody. And when you put the two together, we did a men's retreat once, and I taught the men this. And then, our men's retreat was Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday morning. And then Sunday morning, we did a little session and then came to church. And I had the men sing that, come up front and stand up, and it was just awesome. So it's a great theme song. So I've attended if you're trying to figure out what songs you might choose. Okay, I want to talk about some format options. What kinds of, this is sort of more the organizational part. How do you organize times where you meet together? All right, so one is you are around projects. So maybe you have a building project, or you're helping someone out, or there's some cause that you want to get involved in, and then you need to have specific times. So you organize things around a project. Or you organize activities. This week we're going to go to Joe's workplace. Next week we're going to go hike together. Or, the next week we're going to go to a museum together, or whatever it might be. That's probably the bulk of what men's groups tend to do. They have a small group meeting. Maybe it's a Saturday morning breakfast or whatever it might be. Maybe it's the Bible study time that you have together. But, how are you going to organize that? What's the format of this thing? Large group meetings. Maybe you're going to join some other men's thing, and you're going to join together in some kind of worship experience or whatever it might be. Or you might have accountability partners. You might divide men into groups of one or two, and then they hold each other accountable. Maybe there's accountability questions and the like. Mentorship, or maybe you're going to have a mentorship, sort of system of organizing your men's group. Education, this year we're going to learn these things. And maybe you have a speaker come in, or maybe you take a class together at Christian Leaders Institute. But this year we want to go over these things. We're going to learn, the six basic doctrines of the Christian faith. Or we're sort of the highlights of church history. I think men need to know the history of what God has been doing in the church. Or what it might be, Bible knowledge, it might be, whatever it is that you think men should learn. So you have all these different activities and different things that you could do that sort of organize your time. But one thing you could add to each one of these activities is these basic elements: Bible, prayer, song, something to discuss. Create an atmosphere where all dare to participate. So let's say you're going to the museum. Well, pick out a verse. Have a little prayer. When you get to the museum, have a little prayer together. Lord, here we are together at this museum, and bless us in our time. May you speak to us through your creation. Maybe have a little song. Wouldn't it be awesome to sing, living for Jesus, a life that is, in the middle or the mall or the workplace that you go, whatever it is that you're doing. That'd be just awesome. So these are just things you can add on to anything. It gives sort of a spiritual focus to anything. You could go on a hike and you could sing a song as you're hiking. You could stop and have a fire and open the Bible, have a prayer, discuss something. All right, let's expand, you know, each one of the things that I mentioned in the first section of ways to organize or format your time in a men's group. So projects, you know, you're building something, you're fixing something, and those things will sort of organize your time, you know. For the next three Saturdays, we're going to build this thing. Maybe we're going to build a go-kart, or maybe we're going to do something fun, right? Whatever it might be, or we're going to learn how to do electricity, or we're going to learn how to weld. Bob is a welder. We're going to the weld shop, and we're going to weld stuff, you know, and we're going to do it for 3 weeks. So the project itself sort of organizes your time, and you have to figure out when and how long you're going to do this thing. You know, attend a concert, lecture, play, go to a museum, a sporting event, a movie, visit a workplace, go camping, fishing, hiking, play sports, go to a restaurant, whatever it is. You know, and maybe you do that once a month or every other month or however you want to organize it. So you think about projects, you think about activities, and then you make a plan. Like maybe you'll think about this for this coming year. Okay, this coming year, we want to do 3 projects. We want to have 5 activities or whatever it might be. Then you figure out what they are, and then you find the dates and the plan. You have to plan ahead or men aren't going to attend, right? People have to know in advance what we're going to do. I have to block off a Saturday or 3 Saturdays in a row because this is what we're doing. So at some point, you have to sort of get organized as a men's group and the kinds of things that you're going to do. Once a month, we're going to have a men's breakfast together. We're going to come together. We're going to do the eggs, the bacon, and we're going to have a passage. We're going to have a testimony, whatever the format you decide for that morning thing. But you have to figure all that out. You know, you have to have a balance. You know, people have lives filled with all kinds of things. So what can this men's group do? How much time can they put into these things? Small groups. So let's say you have a small group meeting and it's once a month or every other week or every week. I don't know, you know, what it is. The more, okay? In Acts chapter 2, when the church started, at the very end of Acts chapter 2, it says, and they met daily in each other's homes, daily. They had a Bible study daily. Every day they saw one another. And a lot of times that's what it really takes to have a close-knit, close connection. Many of us went to school and we had really good friends, but we went to school daily. So I know we're not going to have a men's group meeting daily, but what I'm saying is the more often you meet, the better, whatever sort of works for you. Find a consistent time. You know, we meet every other week on Tuesday night at 7. If you keep changing, you know, Bob can't make it next Tuesday, so let's make it Wednesday next time, and you keep changing it, it turns into a big mess. Just, you know, if Bob can't make it next Tuesday, then we have a meeting without Bob next Tuesday. Hopefully he can make it the next Tuesday. Informal interaction time, you get together. You can't just launch into the Bible study or whatever it is that you're going to do. It's like, hey, Bob, how are you doing? Hey, Bill, what's going on with your life? You know, we have this time of just, you know, greeting one another and talking and informally reconnecting in some ways. And then a lot of times food. Men love food. Make food part of it. And, you know, be creative. You know, we're going to have a potluck. We're going to, you know, bring something that you think no one has ever had before. Or we're going to try this or, you know, whatever it might be. You know, make the food together. I mean, if that was the whole meeting, again, you're doing this thing, you're making food, but what's happening along the way? Spiritual connections, talking about marriage and family is happening on the sides. Study, you know, so if you did a little time, informal interaction, a little food, and then you have a time of study, you know, maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes, whatever, you know, works for you. Create an atmosphere where everyone dares to participate. Right? Again, You have to start at a surface level, and then you gradually get deeper and deeper. We talked about in the Bible study section. So this is sort of the Bible study section. And then have a prayer time. You know, maybe you go around the room. What are your needs? What are you praying for? What are you most excited about what God is doing in your life? Have a little prayer time together. So that might be the format. You come up with a format for your small group meeting, and this is what we do. Now men come, and they know what's coming. They know what to expect. There's no big surprises for them, and they become comfortable with it. Large groups, consistent time, informal interaction, more formal presentation. So here's what happens. When you have a small group, 10 people or so, it's very informal, and people talk, and you know, you don't have to have some big speech or anything like that. But the larger the group, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50 guys. So it's some men's group has like 50 people coming for a breakfast, and now it's too big for everyone to talk. So now you need more of a formal presentation. You need a speaker. Today, Bob is going to share with us. Or a testimony. We're going to have two testimonies today. You know, Bill is going to share something about how God interacted in a really hard time in his life. And then he does that. And then you could break it down, discuss it. Okay, at your table, you know, share your own story or something like that. But when it's the whole group, you can't have a big Bible study time with 50 people. Because what will happen is three people will dominate because they have to. You can't have 50 people sharing. If everyone shared, you know, a minute, it would be 50 minutes. And people don't share a minute. So the larger the group, the more polished, if you will. That's why a church service is more put together. There's more planning. A church service is just a big, small group. But because it's so big, we get it organized. You know, we're going to sing right now. And that you know, and here's the song. You know, big groups can do that together. They can read scripture together. In charismatic circles, you can pray together because everyone can pray their own thing. But in non-charismatic circles, somebody has to pray for people. So it just has to be more organized. Accountability partners, okay? Three partners at most, you know. Two, three. Three works well because, you know, sometimes two becomes dysfunctional. A third person just adds a little variety, you know, a check, you know, on the discussion. You need a consistent time. We're going to meet, you know, once a month or whatever it might be. We're going to have some informal interaction. Maybe we're going to do the acts thing, you know, the prayer thing together. Or we have accountability questions that we ask one another. You know, what temptations have you been tempted with since our last meeting? What are some goals that you're working on? Last time you talked about this goal and how's that going? You were going to work on this. How did that go? Anything going on in your marriage and your family, you know, these might be sort of the things that you talk about every time. Or you set up a question for the next time. Here, okay, for our next time, these are the things that we're going to talk about. So these are the things to work on in this next time before we meet again. I just want to go over Acts a minute. I mentioned Acts before under the prayer section. Adoration. You know, in scripture, prayer, in a song, you can, you know, you can quote a song of adoration and praise to God, or you can pray it, or you can do a song with adoration. Psalm 95, verse 6, come let us bow down and worship, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 29, verse 2, ascribe the Lord the glory to his name, worship the Lord in splendor, in the splendor of his holiness. Confession. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 32, verse 5, then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So under confession, your failures, you know, how have you failed in the last, you know, since we met again? you know, work or in your family or in your marriage or in your relationship to God. What about your goals, unmet goals, or the goals that you tried to succeed in? Ongoing struggles, new sins that you've fallen into or that are tempting you. See, this is a place where it has to be a safe place or no one's going to share anything. But this is a great, once you get that trust, this is a place where you can say what's going on in your life so that you're not alone. You know, the problem with temptation is when you're alone, okay? If you know you have this band of brothers that you're going to come to, you think about that and you go, okay, I don't want to let my brothers down. And that helps you do the thing that you should do or not do the thing that you shouldn't do. Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in the word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, give thanks for the successes since the last time you met. Give thanks for the goals achieved, or at least, you know, you've seen some progress in some area of your life. The struggles that you've overcome, answered prayer, all the things that you can give praise for. So what's nice about a accountability thing is it forces you to actually think about these things. There are all these things that we're thankful for. There are all these things that we should be confessing. There is, you know, our natural desire to praise God, but we just don't do it. We're busy with life. We're consumed with all kinds of things. But the accountability group makes us stop life for a moment and go, okay, let's think about these. Oh, yeah, I am thankful for this. And that lifts us. It lifts our spirits. It gives us encouragement to go on. Supplication. Your ongoing and new goals. What are you working on? What do you need? What are your needs in the seven connections? God, marriage, friends, family, church, kingdom, world. Okay. If you go over these seven connections at each accountability meeting, eventually these guys are like, I think I get this. And they'll be thinking about my relationship to God, thinking about relationship to my spouse, thinking about relationship to my family, my friends. It what it does is it produces reflective people. See, and when you reflect on your life, when I think about how God set this up, you know, one day in seven, he said, no, a seventh day you're not supposed to work. It's a day set apart. Okay, it's a day that you end up saying, okay, I was busy with life doing all these things, but then on the seventh day I stop and I go, what's this about? God even did that. He stopped and go, what did I make? So this reflective thing, to have habits and practices in your life that sort of force you to stop everything that you're doing and go, what am I doing? How am I doing it? What's going on? Is so incredibly valuable. All right, key ingredients for men's accountability. You need trust. You need transparency. You need clear goals, regular check-ins, honest feedback, encouragement, and support. All these things that I've been talking about. Prayer, scripture, maybe even a theme song. You know, three guys in a coffee shop singing away. Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay, mentorship. Okay, mentorship is different than an accountability group. Mentorship is when you have someone who knows something is trying to help somebody who doesn't know this thing. And it can be anything, right? You know, so what's going on in a mentorship is all the things we just talked about in the accountability group, but we add these things. Pick an area or two that the mentee would like mentorship in. So what do you want to learn? You know, here's what I have. Is there anything that I have that you want? So I know how to play the guitar. Do you want to learn how to play the guitar? I know something about music. Do you want to learn how to music? I know something about prayer. Do you want to learn how to pray? I think I'm doing reasonably well with the parenting thing. Do you want to learn about parenting? I think my marriage is going pretty good. We have some habits and practices that are really helping. And, you know, I can help you get those practices in your life. So you need something that I am trying to help you in this particular area. And not that the mentee can't help the mentor. That a lot of times it goes both ways. But we start out that way. And then you need access to each other. You need a specific time to meet. You need to make some goals. You need to make a plan. You know, my goal is to be a better father. Okay, so what exactly are we going to work on? You know, what are the three things that we're going to try to do? And then let's make a plan of how we're going to work on this one. And then when that one succeeded, we're going to the next one. And then we're going to the next one. Accountability and encouragement. So, you know, in the end, here's a goal, here's what you need to try in your marriage, and then, you know, the next time you meet, well, how'd that go? Well, I didn't do anything. Okay, well, why didn't you do anything? Well, I just, you know, and then, well, okay, well, what do you want to do this week? It's really a coaching thing. We have a whole coaching class. And if you really want to get into this mentorship thing, it's really a coaching thing. And there's a lot of skills that you should learn. You check us out at Christian Leaders Institute. And you know, if you really want to go into depth into this, you should really take that class. But accountability and encouragement is how anyone learns anything. I'm not just telling you you're great, you're awesome, you can do this. I'm also telling you you missed the mark. That's how we learn. A video game. You're playing a video game, and you make a mistake. Your character in the video game dies. Okay, so that's accountability. If you do it wrong, bad things happen. If you do it right, you get rewarded. Yeah, you get to the next level, and that's the way it is in everything. So if you really men, there has to be a accountability and encouragement. So. In this session, I've given you a whole wide range of stuff because, you know, a men's group has this wide range of activities and things that you might do. And I'm trying to, you know, fill in that. So if you're going to do an activity, here's what you could do. You know, add some Bible, add some prayer, you know, add spiritual elements to, you know, all your activities and the things that you're going to try to do. If you're going to do Bible studies and have a Bible study time, you know, here's kind of how you could do that. If you're going to do mentorship, here's sort of the parameters of how you're going to do that. So you need to sit down and go, what are we going to do? And, you know, you could be overwhelmed. Like, oh, man. But I'm giving you the full thing that you could do. You start with one thing. It doesn't matter. We're going to start with just activities and then add spiritual things into it. We're going to do that for a year. Okay, fine. Or I have a men's prayer breakfast. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to, once a month, we're going to have a men's prayer breakfast. And then eventually, out of that, we might have accountability groups or whatever it is. It's your vision, okay? You need to figure this out. What thing gravitates to you? What? Where do you want to start? So that's what you need to start figuring out. So again, remember I said you need a vision to attract people to, you know, starting a men's group. But now you're having all this input as to what this is. It's a lot harder, isn't it? Okay? But just start simple. You know, what specifically do you think God is calling you to do in the light of all this? Maybe you need to watch this lecture again and go, okay, Lord, is this where you want me to start? Is this where you want me to start? Is this where you want me to start? Okay, this is hard work. Right? Anytime you start something, it's hard. You know, anytime you learn something, it's just now you have more things to think about. Okay? But don't get bogged down in it. You know, you can do this. Start with the simplest thing and give it a go. You don't have to do all this stuff. Just, you need to start. Okay, just I mentioned Elon Musk, right? They build an engine and it blows apart and then they go, well, what went wrong? And they do the next thing. That's all you need to do is start with what you think is the simplest thing and see how that goes and then add things as you go. I want to encourage you. Most men think they can't do it. I can't do it. I can't lead. Yes, you can. The difference often between a man who's not leading and a man who is leading is the man who is leading gives it a go. Just tries. Tries. And if you try with a humble attitude, look guys, I'm trying this. I don't know if I'm gifted in it. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm trying it. Humble attitude. Most men will accept whatever happens. Give it a go. See you next time.